What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 126 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And today we have a special guest, one of my favorite game journalists and just people all around. We have Ash Parrish in the building. How's it going?
Hi, it's been going. We're having a good time here, just taking it easy.
That's what's up. So typically we talk about like the things that we've done this week and since the last time we were on the podcast or whatever. And outside of doing that, though, we also wanted to introduce Ash and just have people kind of, because some of our viewers might not know who you are. Shame on them. And so we want you to kind of, I guess, tell us a little bit about yourself. What have you been up to in the writing world? Some of your background and stuff like that, and what you've been up to currently.
Hi, my name is Ash Parrish. I'm a video game journalist. I've been a video game journalist full time since like 2020, but I've been writing since about 2018. So it's almost been, 10 years, only eight. I started writing for Kotaku. After a year, I went over to The Verge where I covered video games for them for about 5 years. But recently, like many of my colleagues, doesn't have a job anymore because nobody wants to pay for that shit anymore. For reasons that we could get into, but would take far too long to elucidate here. But so I've been taking it easy the last couple months, just getting to enjoy video games from like the civilian aspect of it. So which is, you know, fun for me because now I get to play games that I choose and, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be something that I would get the opportunity to write about if I was working. Which means I get to try like weirder, smaller games. I've been playing Titanium Court, which is an interesting game that I'm having a lot of fun with right now. Also, strangely, people have been bugging me about this for a very long time. So I got into Love in Deep Space, which is a gacha game where instead of like pretty dresses, what you get is softcore porn. So not a joke, not a hyperbole. It's like softcore porn. So that's been fun.
Wow.
But yeah, I love writing. Hopefully we'll have some good news to share soon that I'll be back to doing that. But as of right now, I've just been taking it easy.
That's what's up.
Hi.
Not on the you know, not being employed tip, but on the, you know, things are turning around. Like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Like to hear that. I've been a fan of your writing for a long time, and you know, from all the different websites that you've written for, even, you know, you're doing the freelancing stuff right now, always having an interesting view on, you know, the normal crazy that is gaming. And just also the fact that you look like me too is a plus. And I'm like, oh, there's a dope black person writing some really dope stuff. That's dope. You know what I mean? And so wanted to get you onto the podcast for a while now. And I feel like I have like some dope topics that'll actually, you know, can benefit from your presence. That being said, one of the things that I got to do recently was go see Lee Cronin's The Mummy, and I am disappointed, unfortunately.
Oh no.
Because I feel like he did something really, really smart with his way of storytelling and developing the monster and all this other stuff. And towards the middle to late part of the film, it just turns into a normal exorcism type film. And I was reading this stuff before watching it, and I was like, I don't think that's going to be the case because possession has been in mummy movies since like black and white, whatever. But then I watched it and I was like, oh, I know exactly how this is going to end. I know what's going to happen when, yep, that's happening right there. And it just felt very generic. He had all this buildup and all these cool elements and different things and these different characters, and it just turned into, yeah, mediocre or whatever. And I was like, dang it, man. I feel a little bit, not as bad as when I watched Long Legs. Like Long Legs was a bigger letdown, but it was close. It was definitely close because it started out so great. And beyond that, I've been playing Sorrows. I just started. That's a really cool game. If you like Returnal, definitely check that out. I've been playing on PS5 and I haven't stopped. It's pretty amazing.
I was just going to recommend, if you did not like The Mummy, check out Hokum, which I'm not a horror fan. My husband is a horror fan. So I just go movies, just, you know, make him happy or whatever. And I thought I would be annoyed by Hokum, and I heard it wasn't great. IGN, I think, gave it a 4. So I didn't have any high expectations for this, but I was actually really pleasantly surprised. It was one of those things where I thought I could see what the play was, but it surprised me and as to what was really going on and what actually happened. So give that a shot. It'll surprise you. So. Mm.
Looking forward to it. I should be going tomorrow. Tess, what have you been up to?
You know, nothing. I'm boring.
That's not true. That's not true, girl.
Nothing. You know, just the same. Going to work and watching reruns of Empire TV shows that we're going to talk about later. And, of course, trying to play The Sims. I really don't get enough time because I am, you know, because work sucks, but I am just trying to get these Sims married, and I realized how horrible this game is. You know, back in the day when I was talking about Sims on here, I was so lucky because I didn't have expansion packs. I didn't have packs. I didn't have them. You know, being poor can be a very great blessing when, you know, because like once you get a little bit of money, you're like, I got $6.99 to throw at this. What are you talking about? And then your whole game goes, you know, sideways. And that's what happened because my dumb butt really, really, really wanted this piano from my wedding stories. And so what did I do? I did the thing that everybody said not to do. It's like, oh my God, my wedding stories is the worst. It's like, don't do this to yourself. And I did it. And I know that I've spoken about this before, but I just want to say right now how true
the diabolicalness. I tried to told you.
Was it one of those things where, like, because this game is so infested with bloat, like, every time you add a new thing, it just, like, completely breaks the game? Is that what happened?
Okay. So there's that. There really is that.
All this time with The Sims.
There is that is so real. And this situation has nothing to do with the bloat. This situation is that it is a trash pack that they wrapped in a beautiful landscape. Okay, you get the world and you're like, oh, this is pretty. Like, if you go to the locations, it's so pretty. There is this beautiful, like, waterfallish beach pool thing that you can go to with your Sims and they can meet other Sims. You can go swimming. And so it's so pretty. And you can stand on a bridge. I had my Sim do a proposal there. Like, it was just really pretty, which, mind you, is another horrible thing because you can't get them to stay still for pictures. And it's just awful. Oh, wow. But that's besides the point. You know, it's like pause, tab, press the tab button so you can get headline effects off. Tab again, wait, pause, no, take a picture, wait, do you need to use a camera, do you need to use, because you can't, they can't take a selfie, they can't use their cell phone, so you need to download a CC camera and use the Moschino pack tripod because that's the only way to take a picture.
I said you can't, because so Tess, for the people who don't know, Tess makes up these amazing stories. I swear it's passions with The Sims.
It's fashion.
She's like, vampires were showing up at her house. It was just a whole bunch of craziness.
So great.
And but then she'll add all these things, and it's like really cool. She has this cool story with these characters, and then she's like, "Ooh, I'm gonna add this thing," and I'm like, "Don't do!" And
don't
then
it
just blows up. Mm-hmm. Like things aren't working right, and it's just it's a whole it's a story within and of itself. Essentially,
it is. It's
so funny.
Funny.
That it is such a big money maker for that studio, and just like the most basic quality of life stuff, they just can't be bothered to do. That's so
have a wedding
to me.
You can't send someone down the aisle and get married. They will literally go do something. My Sim left her wedding to go to the bar to make drinks.
Well, she didn't want
while
to get married.
Her grandmother, she clearly didn't want to get married, and her grandmother and the best man were upstairs getting it on.
Oh, okay.
That's
it really is passions, huh?
That's wild. I was going to say that her making drinks at her wedding was kind of fly until you, like, when you add the rest, the to be continued part, that's rough. That's kind of rough. I'm not going to hold you. That's crazy. Woohoo with the grandmother. I can't. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our jump into our show. The first topic of the night we wanted to talk about was so Paramount Plus had their The Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender leaked all over the internet, and people were able to watch this film prior to it being released on the streamer, and it's caused all sorts of problems. The biggest thing, though, or the biggest news as of late has been a man, apparently someone in Singapore, was allegedly arrested for leaking the information or leaking the, you know, the doc, and they're facing up to 7 years in prison and I think $50,000 or whatever in fines. And I'm a little torn on this. From my perspective, I guess being an artist and whatnot, and just like someone who makes content, like having your stuff stolen is never a good feeling. And having it leaked, especially after the creators were kind of up in arms with Paramount for putting it on the streamer as opposed to putting it in theaters. Mm-hmm. And so with all that hard work and stuff, now you have it just given to Reddit, right? And we know that, and this is not me caping for Paramount, but we know that what can happen with an animated feature is that it can be shelled very easily. We saw this with, was it Wile E. Coyote versus Acme? And if it wasn't for Ketchup Entertainment coming to the rescue, we wouldn't have that movie at all, right? And so I can see Paramount being like, you know what? We put a lot of money into this. A sequel might not be on the table considering just the what has happened, right? And while I think a lot of people are still going to watch this on the streamer, it's the perception that's is what they're worried about. Like, if they can perceive that a lot of people didn't watch it because of the leak, that can that can cause some issues, right? Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I don't know if he should get 70 years in jail. I don't know. Like, I feel like the fine plus the years in jail might be a bit much. Yeah, he did leak something. From what I've read, he got it from someone else, and then he put it on the internet, which is very typical, right? Like, you tell somebody, hey, I got something. Keep it to yourself. Don't be sharing it with nobody. And they're like, sure. And then just everywhere. And the dude's like, fam, what? Why? Why would you do that? I told you to keep it to yourself, right? So it's kind of on him at the same time. But I'm like, I don't know. I think that, especially being Paramount, considering that they have this big this big thing going on with WB, that they want to make an example out of this person. And I don't know if that's fair. That's similar to the, was it the Nintendo leak that happened years ago, or the Nintendo issue where they were trying to throw the book at the person? And while I can understand why you'd want to do that, I think the timing and the amount of money that they're asking for might be a bit much for just an average Joe. Then again, he did break the law. But Ash, what do you think about this?
I was going to say, like, it sounds like Paramount, they share lawyers with Nintendo, because Nintendo, like, ruined that one guy's life. Like, he has to, like, can pay all kinds of royalties, like, every month. I think Kotaku some years ago did a story about him, about how he has been utterly crushed under their weight for the things that he was doing, which, you know, you feel like says, this is, you know, this is the consequences of your actions, but at the same time, it's so outsized. And is it really doing anything? Because we're still pirating that shit anyway. I don't think it's like
right.
That Nintendo wants it to be. But it's ridiculous. Like, 7 years in jail, no. $50,000, sure. Okay, fine. That makes sense to me. You know, you broke the law in a pretty egregious way. You know, that's a lot of money. Yeah, you probably should pay that, even though you probably will have never, you'll never be able to pay that off. Jail time, though, seems a bit much for me.
Especially,
I don't know, man. Like, are we really going to go this hard about Avatar The Last Airbender? Y'all didn't care enough about it to put it in theaters. You were never going to make that kind of money anyway. So, like, what, like, yeah, you know, make your example, but I don't think you have to put him in jail for it. Like,
yeah, especially not really 7 years. All this? Like,
was it even good? Like, I'm a big Avatar. I'm a big Avatar The Last Airbender girly. Like, I loved that show. Like, that show was my life when it was airing. Zutara Forever, by the way. Like, we're still on that.
Time. Hello. Thank you.
But like, I saw that they're doing this movie with the aged up characters, and I just couldn't bring myself to really care about it all that much. Like, I'm content with these things being done. That was a great show. It had a great arc. And we got to say goodbye to those characters. We got to see some of them again in Legend of Korra. And that was like a nice little bonus. But I think the smartest thing that Paramount or Nickelodeon ever did was to advance the story with new characters. Yeah, some old characters and the children of characters got to come back. So you got to see like the legacy and the through line, but we weren't like rehashing the shit like they did with like All Grown Up or some shit like that. And so all these years later, I see this new movie with these older characters and I just can't bring myself to care because I've already closed the book on them. I don't need any more of them. Like, yeah, like, ooh, Zuko is super hot. Like, great. I got a picture for that. You know, like we took care of that. Like, I'm good.
Seriously.
So what about you, Tess?
Agreed.
I mean, I just want to know, how do we know that it wasn't an inside job? Like, I'm just saying that they were not gonna theatrical release it. And then they were like, yeah, we're gonna put it on the streamer. Well, what if you remember how A-Marie leaked her own song?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember how this one thing became a thing.
Long time. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying, what if somebody said, look, they're screwing us by not letting us go to theater. Screw them back. Hey, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And yeah, put this file here on this. Don't use this VPN.
Well, see, wouldn't that be worse though? Because like, while I can understand it, because I know we talked with you know, when we talked with Jorge Gutierrez about you know, his shows on Netflix, he was saying that, you know, if Netflix ever takes them down, that he has backups just in case. But in this sense, it's like he was going to handle it himself. Or at the very least, in a way that doesn't get him locked up, right?
Right.
If they gave it to someone and be like, yo, go ahead and leak this, and then this person gets caught and they say nothing, it's like, oh, damn. Like, you get 7 years and I'm just like free and clear. You know what I mean? Like, that might be worse than actually him just stealing it from someplace.
I also can't imagine.
I mean, that's the truth.
I can't imagine that a significant portion of people actually watched the movie, like streaming. Like, yeah. Sure, some people did, like maybe the diehards did, but like we don't, those ways are being lost to us nowadays. Like, we don't really care about torrenting anymore. Like, you've got your, you know, your community of diehards that do that stuff, but like, really, I can't imagine this major subset of Avatar people are probably around like my age, and they're you know, they're in their 30s. Like, do we do that shit anymore? Do we really care enough to torrent that shit? No.
I didn't even know it was out until we talked like, about it. I didn't know. It was like, oh, by the way, somebody leaked it.
This was news to me, too. So
I was like, what? What is this?
I don't think enough people care about it, which is probably bad for Paramount's bottom line, because I don't think very many people are going to be seeking it out anyway. Not because they already saw it on Reddit or whatever, because it just can't be bothered to care. Like, there's been hardly any marketing about it in the first place. Like, I didn't know that this was I knew intellectually when it was announced that this was a thing that was happening, but I hadn't seen no trailers about it. Like, I didn't know it was coming. Like, you weren't telling me about this anyway. Like, this is the only time that I've ever heard about this movie because it leaked in the first place.
And that supports my point. See? Just saying.
Maybe.
Nobody knew about it anyway.
That's definitely a thing. And that's what I was saying about the perception, right? Because if they can say, especially with new people coming in, if they can say, hey, we spent all this money, we're going to put on the streamer, but people, you know, when the numbers come back, they're low. We know that it's low because people aren't really, they don't really care. But they can be like, well, it was leaked and this is why, et cetera, et cetera. And I only said it because I was looking at when it happened with Netflix. I think it was three anime that they had. One of them was the new Terminator show. And a lot of them eventually got canceled or something to that effect. And some of the creators were kind of like, it's not on us. And it's hard to prove if this was like a one-to-one. Because like all the people that would go and watch this, like the crazy amount of people, I don't even think they have Paramount Plus. Like that would be interested. Would even have Paramount Plus, you feel me?
Keeping it a buck, but it's we shouldn't perception. Have Paramount Plus anyway with all that shit they're doing with like Larry Ellison and CBS. Like we gave Facts. That shit up a long time ago in the first place. So I don't even have Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Nope. Me neither.
I hope the people who are who actually, you know, slaved over the film get whatever they're supposed to get in terms of, yeah. you know, finances. They're not laid off because I'm pretty yeah. sure if this goes through, there's going to be redundancies and, you know, people are going to be let go anyway. So hopefully they, you know, land on their feet. The next thing we wanted to talk about was Taylor Swift. And I know that might be a shock to people because we don't talk about Taylor Swift at all. Like,
this
I just
a jump
don't
scare for me, honestly.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. But it was interesting because we have been talking about AI and the effects of AI and what we thought about AI. And so it's interesting to me that Taylor Swift and Matthew McConaughey took steps to protect themselves from AI, but not in the way you would think. Like we talked about the, you know, the unions and everything fighting for the rights of actors and such when it comes to AI and, you know, protecting themselves and putting clauses in there. And you basically, it's a lot harder to sign your rights away, but they are saying that, or at least their idea was, I'm going to protect certain aspects of myself so people can't just take them and, you know, put them all over the web. For instance, Taylor Swift, instead of protecting her music in a way, she protected like a catchphrase, like, hey, this is Taylor, or mm-hmm. she also protected a specific photo. Apparently, a lot of people are using this photo for whatever reason. And I can't imagine, in a sense of like, if someone were to make like porn or something like that out of, you know, a memory that you have, right? So I understand mm-hmm. the steps, but I don't understand the steps in the sense of why just those things. And the same thing with Matthew. It's like, I'm protecting this sentence that I said one time ever. I'm not protecting anything else, just this one thing and filing trademarks for it. I don't really get that as a way of protecting yourself. Unless they just Google like Matthew McConaughey AI and it's just people saying these sentences or whatever the case, I don't understand it because we, on the last episode, we talked about, you know, someone who had passed away who's going to be in a film. Like they're just AIing his entire existence into a film.
Right.
I don't think a catchphrase is going to be enough, if you feel me. And so I was just curious, like, is this the thing that we have to do going forward? Are we going to have to like piecemeal our likenesses and our, I don't know, catchphrases or things that we say, photos and stuff like that? Are we going to have to do this? Because this can be, it feels like a waste of time and a lot of money. And granted, these people are rich, so whatever. But right. it just feels like this is not the way you should go about it. At least the way I'm thinking.
I don't know, but Taylor is just so weird.
Yeah, that is weird. But I think the reason that they're doing this is they don't want to close the door on any of that AI money. So there's probably deals in the works far in the future or even right now. You know, the next Super Bowl, there's going to be a Taylor Swift commercial endorsing like Claude or some shit, or Matthew McConaughey doing the same. Like they don't want to close the door on that money. Like we've seen celebrities with all of these fads, like with fucking NFTs and all the like they don't want to, you know, potentially shoot themselves in the foot and block whatever deals or whatever truckloads of money these companies will back up to their, you know, door to give them to endorse whatever to use whatever. Like I think that's part of the goal, but there's certain things that maybe they have other plans for, like, hey, this is Taylor or whatever, that they want to have complete control over. So they trademark that, so that can't be touched, but everything else is fair game because they want that money. Like that's what that says to me. And I cannot be bothered to care. I cannot be
right.
Like all of this shit is a bubble. It's gonna bust. Any product that you have to like force people or like try to fearmonger them into using is not going to be around for much longer. It's taking this thing way too fucking long to die, unfortunately. In my, you know, hopeful optimism that it will die. So all of this is just like a non-starter at this point. Like nobody's talking about NFTs, even though whatever, I forget who it was, the famous celebrity that went on Jimmy Fallon was like, hey, oh, I think it was Paris Hilton, like, hey, this is my monkey. We're not doing that shit anymore, right? Like that was maybe 2 and 3 years ago now. Like in a year, 2 years, all of this will be moot. Like, it's not even worth having the conversation about, especially because these people are so fucking rich, like so far and away and above the concerns of like normal artists with AI in terms of like AI generating jobs, people out of jobs and things like that. Like, you're getting AI slop content in your video games and all that kind of shit. Like, that is where my concern lies, not what Matthew McConaughey or Taylor Swift are doing.
Right.
Agreed.
I guess my, with my, because like I said, we've never talked about this person ever.
Ever.
It's more so in a sense of like, what I've been seeing is the fight for this stuff, or the fight for this stuff to stop, unfortunately, has to come from the people with the most money, right? Mm. And so, for instance, with Disney, that whole deal that Disney had, like, falling through was, like, the best thing ever. When they were they were going to have the AI, like people can go in and make AI whatever of their Disney properties, and that just fell through. And I was like, this is great. And then you have Ziff Davis going after, I think, ChatGPT or whatever the case may be, because of them basically stealing their articles and whatnot. And so it's not going to be a small person who wins in court that actually, because they're not going to have enough money to go up against these conglomerates. You're going to have an equally, you know, someone with a lot of money for this to work. And so my thought was like, in this sense, are people thinking that this is not something that they can win, so they have to do like these little steps, as opposed to like Disney, where they're like, hey, if we're not working with you, you cannot have, well, I can't say Mickey Mouse anymore, but you can't have anything Pixar related without our approval. And as opposed to like a clean, you know, like, we're not doing any of this. It's like, maybe just my catchphrase. This is all the money I'm willing to spend on this. And so that's why I thought this is like a weird thing, because Taylor Swift, especially considering that what she did with her music and how she was able to buy back her catalog and remove it from Spotify and then put it back on Spotify. Like, I feel like if she wanted to block every single thing, she could. That's why it's kind of weird.
It's just, I mean, I don't know Taylor Swift really. I don't.
None of us do. It's like, fine.
Three songs. Yeah,
I
just don't.
I certainly don't.
And no, like, shade Taylor, except for the fact that I hate the way she dances. But, like, cause that's not dancing. That is just very strange, awkward movements on stage. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what the, like, I can't even, you know, I like to mimic people. I can't even do the, hey, it's Taylor, because I don't know what it sounds like. And so.
Yeah, I've never.
I'm so far removed from that. So, like, trademarking your voice saying that, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was a thing. If Owen Wilson said, wow, and tried to trademark, wow, like, I would do that. I would be like, okay. If what's her face, trademarked her voice saying, it's bananas. Like, I would know that, because I would get it. Okay. That's Ashanti. That's what she used to say all the time. That's bananas. Like, I get it. But I really am not familiar. Wow. I'm definitely not. I mean, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not a Swiftie or anything like that. But, like, I don't know what that sounds like. I don't even know what the Hey, It's Taylor sounds like. I don't know. I've never heard it. That's interesting. Or it's actually not.
Apparently, Vampire Lestat, the trailer made everyone go crazy. And yeah, I haven't been watching Interview with the Vampire. I know both of you have. And yes. So I'm going to leave this segment up to y'all. How do y'all feel about, because I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, this looks interesting, from what I know of the books and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And but then I was reading the comments and I was like, oh, I was not aware of what this entailed, like, fully. So, and then I told you about it, and like, you, like, you know, yeah. So how did y'all feel about this trailer? Like, are you guys amped about this coming season? Are you concerned that they're not, you know, translating certain parts of the book into the show, or whatever the case may be? What are your thoughts on the new trailer?
I'm so excited for this. Like, I've been waiting for this adaptation specifically because it is so much better than Interview with the Vampire. Granted, AMC has done something really phenomenal in how they've changed up certain aspects of Interview with the Vampire to make it different and make it like a new experience. But like this bitch though, he's like the original diva, and the actor whose name I can't think of off the top of my head. Sam I'm so Reed. Sorry. Sam Reed. He is like leaned into this so hard. Like, I don't know if you saw, but he's like doing a one night show in New York as Lestat. Like, the Vampire Lestat, the band, is doing an actual show in New York. And I wish I could go see free. This. Tickets, oh, that is going to be like wall, ass to ass in that. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to breathe in that thing if it's tickets are free. Oh my God.
Limited just, ticket.
He is just like free. The perfect. Yes. He's the perfect encapsulation of all of what Lestat was in that book, which is this petty, super like, he loves so much, like super emotional diva who cannot be anything wrong. Like he like there's this meme that's been going around for years and years and years of like the opening paragraph of the Vampire Lestat, and it reads like, I'm Ebony Dementia Ravenway. Like he's just like describing how hot he is because, and it's just so good. It's so well done. I'm so excited because it's just going to be so much fun just to watch, you know, a catty vampire behaving badly. Like Sam, I can't remember his name again. Sam Reed?
Yes, Sam Reed.
Okay, yeah. Perfect actor. The best to ever do it since Tom Cruise. Yeah. Yeah. And Tom Cruise was legit. A good Lestat. Like, he really was. He really was.
Yeah.
Like, Tom quiet Cruise as was fun. He was.
He was a fun Lestat, and which was funny because
you don't think of him like that.
Yeah, you don't you don't think of him like that yet, Tom Cruise. Yeah. And then you go back in time, you're like, wait a minute, this is fun. I am sad. I told you, I am sad. I am so excited. I have literally, I count the days. I count the days. I watch the memes. There are memes every day. It's on Reddit. It's like, what? A Vampire Wednesday or whatever. It's insane. And then there's watch parties on Sunday. Apparently the watch parties now are going to be on Discord or whatever. I missed the first one, but I was questioning. I was like, hey, how are we doing this? Like, what are we doing? How many episodes are we? I was like, I mean, I rewatch the show every day, so it just plays in the background. So like, is there an organization to this now? Because I don't have one. I'm like, oh, season one, episode four. Yes. And I'm just there. I just happen to be there. Okay. So this is my favorite of the, teasers is actually the one that they had released a long time ago. That was almost like epilogue of season two. The one where they're in, Lestat is in where is he? Montreal, and you know he's talking to Louis on the iPad and everything. That's my fave. Like I absolutely adore it because it's just like Lestat has gone through a lot. They've all gone through a lot, right? Everybody's gone through a lot, and now they're finally in this peaceful. Okay, you know Lestat is being so sincere, so sweet, trying to write music. Oh, I'm just. Do you like this? Is this song good? Am I any good as an artist? You know what? You know, I have like emotional problems. Like, is it a good song? And Louis in his assholery is like, Beyonce won't cover it. It's okay. It's been. No, I love Louis. Louis, you're an ass. And of course, Lestat's just like, okay, and his hair is all well done and everything, and he's all, and then he finds out that this book is written, and by the time he gets to the bookstore, his hair is wild. He is a hot mess. No thank you is my favorite meme ever.
I'm so excited because the whole thing up to this point is like Louis telling his side of the story, and
yes,
now it's like Lestat is like kicking in the door, is like, okay bitch, it's my turn. And it's it's so intrigued to see all of this from his perspective. I'm so intrigued to see how deep they'll take it, whether if they'll touch on like Akasha, because that's like next.
Yes, they have to.
All of that stuff, like getting into the old vampires like Marius and things like that. Like, we got to do like his weird little incest thing with his mom. With like, his mom. We read the books. Like, we are, this is like my time. So I'm just so excited about it. I cannot wait. I just hope finally that the Academy, whatever Academy, is finally paying attention, because the last two seasons, like, we have been so snubbed for like awards. There's no way that Jacob Anderson should not have had an award. There's no way that the actress for Claudia, either of them, should not have been nominated.
Bailey
for
and Delaney.
Exactly. Like, this, like, acting on acting.
Yeah,
like, we haven't had this level of performance out of actors for a television show in a long time. Like, in a long time.
Agreed. I'm so serious. Like, I rewatch the show all the time because it's so good. And it's like layer upon layer, because every rewatch you find something. I finally found a friend. I finally found someone who was actually watching the show. It's a coworker we just met the other day. And so, we're about to clog up our actual best friends. Besties. Come on now. We text. sending each other Teams messages. I literally sent her a list stop meme the other day. Of course, we have to keep it PG for work, because somebody will be looking at that.
Yes.
We were talking about it the other day at training, because of course, why would we train? We need to talk about brat stuff. So we're talking about this, and I'm like, okay, I have rewatched, I don't know how many times at this point. I see something new every time. Okay. And I'm like, all right, I know you haven't gotten through season two that way. Like, I don't remember if she said she was through season two, or we were having a conversation. I told her I was reading the book. She hasn't gotten to the books yet. I think she may have finished season two. And I was like, you have to do your rewatch, because Louis is an unreliable narrator. Period, point blank.
Right.
And so, and I'm like, I mean, honestly, they're all unreliable because they're all emotional. Okay. Mm-hmm. they are all emotional. And I was pointing out these little things, because I have noticed that, of course, these creators love this source material so much. They gave us such a wonderful TV adaptation, because, I mean, the books are great, right? But like, some reading Interview with the Vampire is slow. It is a little like, it is very like churning butter. In the worst way.
Like, also, Louis is the worst. Louis the point that Louis is the worst. I fucking hate him.
To punch you, like,
it was so great what they've done. How they've changed. Like, the Louis in my head now is not the Louis in the book. It's Jacob Anderson now. I can't have it any other way.
No, it's better as Jacob Anderson, because the other Louis, I'm like, dude, I don't know what is wrong with you. You burned the house down because you didn't want the slaves you had. To know it's your fault that you couldn't keep it together enough, because I don't know, keyholes or something. So what, they're looking at you guys making clanky noises but not eating any food? That's not my fault. Okay. I don't know why you had to burn your mansion down. You're crazy, you're annoying, you complained about everything. I'm serious. Yeah, Louis is the worst. He's the absolute worst, until we talk about Armand and I could not prevent it. Mr. Almond. I love calling him Almond now. I will always call him Almond because of some crazy Redditor. But he is Almond. I think it's probably because of the girl in the bookshop. But somebody did a meme, and his at was, I could not prevent it, at iCloud.com. And I screamed.
Oh my God.
I almost threw my phone. I could not prevent it.
You're going to make me watch.
God, I love you.
I have to do this now.
I love how these actors are like, so Sam Reed is so awkward. Like, it's like the way he does interviews really? And how he's so adorable. Like, he is so opposite of Lestat, like in a regular, you know, that it's so beautiful to see the work that he does on screen, because again, Kenny and I have talked about this, but I love Lestat. I cannot get enough of him. I cannot, because he is outrageous and just my favorite everything. everything.
Outrageous is a good word for him.
You like him better than Shishamaru?
I don't know what you're talking about. I never said that. they are the same person.
I'm just saying, like, you talk it kind of heavy. Shishamaru was just...
Shishamaru and me are having a problem because he still has not, still to this day, has not met his daughter. We have a problem.
Aw. That's cute.
Okay. Let me say this. So, are there any, like, getting back to Lestat, are there any things that you're worried about with this new season? Now, granted, the first two seasons are great, but not many shows. Usually there's a dip somewhere in shows. And whether it's The Wire, whatever the case may be, like, you can always argue, like, okay, this particular season might be a little rough. Like, is there anything that you're afraid might happen with this part of the story coming up?
No. It's literally the best book in the Vampire Chronicles. This is like our POV character is the best character in the show. Like, this is the third season. Lest you remember what happened in the third season of Game of Thrones. Like, that was a bitchin' ass season too. So, like,
yeah, that was actually really good.
We have great things to model from this. I can't, unless like they do some monumental fuck up, which I can't imagine happening after the two seasons they've already delivered for us. I think we're okay. I think we'll be okay.
Because I love it so much, those feelings are in me, the fear feelings of, oh my God, I like, you know, because I remember, I think it was Sam Reed saying how, like, you know, they didn't know that they were going to get more than two seasons. Originally, I think it was written for one, and then I guess the studio was like, can you break this into two? Because this is really good. And then they ended up, you know, writing it for two, splitting up what they had or whatnot. And I think Sam Reed said something about that he wasn't sure if they were going to get a third season. So can we please do some book throwbacks, book call outs, so that people watching can know? So there was the scene with the coat, with the red coat, with the fur lining. So, like, you know, book people would be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And so I remember him saying things Wolf like that. Killer. So if sometimes when you have, like, if we compared Game of Thrones, with Game of Thrones, I remember them talking about how they thought they were only going to get one season. Right? They were like, hey, you know, we're going to get this one and nobody's going to watch this and it'll go bye-bye. And then, of course, that didn't happen. They were like, oh, my God, it was so whatever. So they kept going. And in this situation, it's like, okay, well, you knew you're going to get two, but you really weren't so sure you're going to get three. So what's the shift? Like, are we, I wonder if there's this idea where you're not certain if you're going to get four or something. So then what happens? Like, do things change? Is your mechanics change? And I know this season's, So like, is there a type of anxiety that comes with the creative team, or a type of, I don't know, mentality that kind of changes what you did that worked so well for the first two, because you have been gifted this thing. So is it a situation where it's like, hey, let's put it all in there. Let's go full on. And I do remember Sam Reed saying something about how he wanted to really, really do a bunch of the things that were in the book. Like, okay, Lestat being, doing all this stuff and like becoming gaunt and becoming like, and then they were like, hey man, hey, too far. Hey, this is mental. So there's that little bit of fear. And I know that they're doing a little bit when it comes to the presentation of the show. Obviously we're getting music, we're getting performances. Right. So we're getting to see the true talent of these actors in a more, you know, round way for them as individuals. And it's like, okay, well, what's this going to be like? And so because the format is going to be different, I know the format's going to be different because they talked about how they were going to follow, I forgot. They were like, oh, watch this movie because this season of the show is going to be kind of like,
it's
going to
be similar.
To this, you know, movie, which is, you know, queer culture, iconic for, you know, so I'm like, I feel like they are definitely raising the bar really high. They're setting their own sights for themselves really, really high. And they're like, we're going for it. We're going all out. And I, of course, I just want this to be the biggest payoff in the world because I think they are all so effing deserving of this. I cannot get over the fact, like, I'm looking at Sam's body. There is literally a meme on Reddit where it's like, if not a snack, why snack shape? And literally has a Dorito over his back. Like, the internet, the way it is thirsting over you, Mr. Reed, okay? And he's sitting there like, I'm going to be in the Sydney Opera House playing the priest. I'm just looking at the way the internet is acting with him playing Lestat, half naked, just doing the absolute craziest things. And then him just being this neat guy like, oh, would you take the dark gift? No. Like, it's just like the sweetest thing. So yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Answer your question. There's that nervousness. Because it's just something that I love so much. So, of course, I want it to succeed. But, that there's also that fear that, oh, I hope that this gets as well received as not just the previous seasons, but like as it deserves. I don't want some people like to write off stuff that can get musical and performy, you know, because like,
yes,
some people just want to watch like dramas or they just want to watch a show. And they so those are little fears that I have. But I want those things to just go away and I, you know, just melt like the Stats curls.
I think, based on the glowing reviews you guys have given the first two seasons, I think it'll be fine. But speaking of things to review, I feel like the people at Capcom didn't review all of their,
oh God,
all of their notes before they release some of their last games. I haven't been able to play Pragmata yet. And so I can't really talk about the craziness outside of what I've seen online with that particular game. But I did play Street Fighter. I'm a big Street Fighter fan. And I don't understand, like, what is happening over at Capcom. For those who don't know, Street Fighter VI, one of the newest characters they released, or he's actually an older character, but they added him as DLC, is Alex. Alex from Street Fighter III. And he has an interesting story. He was orphaned as a child, and he went to stay with his mother's cousin and grew up with his second cousin as like brother and sister. The thing is, though, he's much older than she is, and they had this weird, like, it's brother and sister, but also almost like father figure at one point because he's so much older, right? And then you find out in Street Fighter VI that apparently they started dating. And Capcom came out, like, there was this big deal because people were, like, kind of shocked. They were like, wait, the little girl that we've seen this whole time, like, she gets with Alex, who's, like, the older brother, and their cousins? Like, why are you, what? How does this work? And Capcom was like, our bad. There might be some miscommunication, you know, whatever. We're gonna, you know, alter the DLC so it's not terrible, right? So people are like, okay, hesitant, but okay. And then they release a patch, and the patch was like, he's doing his whole story, and he's narrating, and he's like, yeah, I went to stay with my, what did he say? He went to stay with his, a distant relative of his mom or something. Like, that's how he says it, as opposed to his mom's cousin. And mm-hmm. then that's it. They changed nothing else. And it's like, but you still say family. Like, you still say that they're a part of your family. Like,
yeah.
That you didn't change anything. Like, this is still a weird, like, I don't want to say grooming, but it's very close. And just just it being incestual or whatever, just not, that's not normal. At least for Capcom. I haven't seen this before, you know, and it's not something that they kind of just like, it's not even something that they kind of like kicked under the rug. It was like very well known that this was an issue. And that was their response. And so people are like the amount of people who play as Alex has dropped so much since this has happened that it's like, this is going to start to eat into their, you know, the future DLC or whatever. I just think it's weird. But then I started reading about Pragmata and this little girl, robot or AI person who's with another protagonist. And there's this weird dichotomy between her and him and the way she looks, the fact that, oh my God, there's people who are complaining about certain aspects of her body being censored, about her feet, about all these different things. And to make it worse, Capcom would do like memes, or like the crying girl meme, which actually has another meaning on Reddit and other places. And it's like they're just kind of feeding, not intentionally. I can't, you know, not intentionally, but they seem to be feeding into this weird pedophilia type stuff. And it's like these things are happening back to back. And I just don't understand what is happening. Right. And so outside of that in Capcom, I also don't understand the need for people to be. So something like this happened. I talked to you about this, Tess, where watching anime now versus watching anime when I was a kid, watching anime now, I kind of see certain things and I'm like, this is not for me. Like I have children, I have daughters, I have, you know what I mean? And like, I was watching The Goblin Hunter or whatever. And like the first episode, a childlike individual gets raped. And I'm like, nope. And I'm like, I'm done. Don't want to watch this anymore. And I got like killed. People were like, well, you could never watch Berserk. I was like, I don't want to watch Berserk. Like,
you never did watch Berserk, and that's true.
Right. I don't want to watch this mess. Like, why is that a badge of honor for you that you have to sit through this? This, and mind you, I understand because Berserk is still going on. I understand like artistic differences. I understand whatever, right? But I don't understand this weird, like, knee-jerk, like, hey, I know this is really bad, but if you could just get over it, then everything else is great. It's like, well, that's kind of the problem, right? Like, I can't get over this. Like, this isn't, we're adults, right? Like, and you know, outside of the teens, like, there are actually adults who are fighting for the NPC to, like, have underwear as opposed to shorts. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. So, like, Capcom on one side and then this weird fandom on the other. I don't understand. And, Ash, I saw that you were, like, commenting on, you know, Blue Sky about this and how people were kind of, I don't know if they were, antagonizing or, like, attacking, but they seemed a little miffed about the stuff that you were bringing up. How's that been just talking about this in general with people and trying to like suss out like why is everybody so aggy about this game? It's a new IP. It's not even like it's Leon from Resident Evil, you know what I mean, that people are like thirsting over. This is a whole new person, a whole new game. I don't understand.
It's really frustrating trying to have conversations about this because I very much understand the reaction, like you can't let the pedos have this, right? Like,
right,
this is you're doing too much, you're reading too far into it, like it's just innocent and whatever. And like, what people I think fail to understand is the reason why a dog whistle is a dog whistle, because only dogs hear it, right? So if you're not unintentionally blowing the thing, it is what it is, because that's the way that you skate under the radar, right? So that's one aspect of it that's kind of annoying, you know, talking about Diana and how, you know, she has these certain design choices that were made regarding her that feel a little weird, man, that are like, okay,
yes,
what, I get it, but it's just like, that's just strange. That's just, and it's kind of uncomfortable and whatever, but it doesn't diminish my enjoyment of the game, and it shouldn't diminish anybody else's enjoyment of the game. And it's not like implicating anyone who does enjoy the game, like, oh, you know, you have check your hard drive or anything like that. Like, no, that's not what it is. But it's definitely worth having the conversation as why certain choices were made and what the reasons they were made for. Like, there is no reason that Diana at a base level needs to be running around, you know, with a full bust down and a face full of makeup, you know, this childlike looking character, like no pants on and, you know, bare legs, bare feet, climbing up and down off the back of a grown man. Like, sure, like, And a lot of people are like, I didn't see that. Like, I just see this like small thing that I want to protect, which is, you know, very much what, you know, they want you to do. That's the emotion they want you to evoke. And I don't think Capcom was doing anything intentional with it, but it's like choices were made, right? And those choices feed into this underlying current of, you know, why we have such a problem all throughout you know, the history of the world with like sexualizing young girls. Like, that's just what it is. I think what people don't understand also is that it is so pervasive. It is so prevalent that you don't even notice it anymore, such that when people are now rightfully calling it out, like, you feel weird because it's like, no, it's like, that's normal. Does that mean you can't ever have a little girl in a video game? No, because we've been able to do this before in ways that were not, that were still like capitalized on by people that, you know, do sick shit. Like, I'm thinking of The Walking Dead, for example. Like, no, not nobody, you know, did that about Clementine, but it didn't cause that a person is going to do that no matter what, right? But at least you don't have to make it easy for them, as it were, or make it such that it like makes you feel weird or have a reaction when you just look at it. Like, because Clementine is like fully clothed. She's not doing anything like that the way, unlike Diana, where it's like more like, ooh, you know, it's that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's, it is what it is. It's definitely worth discussing and having a discussion about and trying to examine and break down why we react the way that we do and whatever, and what it says about us as a society, you know, in terms of how we view the way, how we view little girls, how we choose to design little girls in video games and stuff like that. That's worth a discussion, but it's not worth, and I get annoyed, especially by people who are like, it's not worth talking about, like, you're doing too much. Like, no, it's worth having a discussion about, like, otherwise we would never get anywhere. So, it is what it is. I hear Pragmata is a great game. When I played the demo at Summer Game Fest last year, I enjoyed the game as for what it was, but I just noticed that, like, that's odd. I don't really like that. You can do better than that, Capcom. So
yeah,
that's pretty much where I leave it. Also, as far as Street Fighter, I really think that's an issue of we don't have lore masters anymore. Did we just like forget that their family, I feel like somebody forgot they're related and it's like, oh shit, we gotta retcon this so it's less creepy.
Right.
Bring back lore masters and fail horribly as a job.
Because it's your entire fandom went up in flames. Like, they were like, she's pregnant, like, what is happening here? It's difficult also because it's, we have this way about us where we, and I mean us in general sense, where it's hard to critique anything that's liked. I remember Tess, when I would talk about the Mario film and how I'm like, I enjoyed it, but it's basically a cameo, like a just cameos nonstop. And people got upset about it and they're like, you can still like the thing, but. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're not going to critique it in a sense where maybe this could be better, like maybe this could be better if we break these things down, or maybe we can inform ourselves of something. Like, I remember reading articles of people breaking down certain films and stuff that I liked and how they might have a different opinion. And then I read it and I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of the implications of these things. I remember when the film Soul came out from Pixar and how I had a problem with that film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was this big divide. First, it was a divide on who was allowed to review the film, how many black people were allowed to review it and stuff like that. And then it came down to, should we support the film because it's one of Pixar's only films where there's a black lead? And the discussion eventually came down to the and spoilers if you haven't seen it, but like the one of the characters jumping into the main protagonist's body and is speaking for him, especially the scene in the barbershop. And how it didn't sit well with me and a bunch of other people. And so it was like, well, why are you hating on this? Why you won't just look at these things? And it's like, once you notice something, it's very hard to fake it. It's like, it's hard to, or at least for me, it's hard to kind of like bypass this thing if it feels so egregious. And when that happens, you cut the conversation off short and then nothing changes. We don't go anywhere, you know, any place further. Like, if we look at the Frog Princess and how she's a frog the entire film, I have daughters who love that, who would love to see themselves as a princess in these type of films. They would be like not happy about it. And this whole idea of like representation, when they found out that there was a black mermaid, they lost their freaking minds. And so it's like there's things that we're seeing passively that do things to us that people don't understand because they just like the thing. They like the colors. Mm-hmm. They like the whatever. And I think that there's something else there that I think is deeper things that we can get in tune. And maybe you might like the art even more if you actually were able to break it down and understand why people make the choices that they make. And while I know that I'm kind of like, you know, barking up a tree in a sense, because it's Twitter, it's Blue Sky, it's all these other places, it's social media, you can't have nuanced conversations. You just can't. But I feel like these conversations still need to be had, because they're important. Art is not just this thing that we just consume and then it goes away. Like, you know, there's a lot that goes with it. And I, not to be on my, you know, preaching here or whatever, but being an artist background, like I just, these are things that we were taught. So I'm always going to be critical. It's just, it's what happens. And I'm a freaking critic. Like it's whatever, you know? But Tess, I remember, I was telling you about it. What were your thoughts on some of this stuff? Cause I know we can liken it to anime a little bit, right?
Yeah. I said it was
with like a,
on brand for Japan.
Man.
No shade. No shade. But because it's very much so in animes. Like there's whole genres dedicated to this bullshit. And it's, again, it's the genres that I'm not particularly fond of. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna avoid that shit. But like, you go stay with your mom's cousin and impregnate her. Like that's, I'm like, is that not the shit that Koi Kase? Like that's the same. It's an anime. It's literally an anime. Like the dude is grown, and then his dad's like, oh, by the way, this is your younger sibling, your half sibling or some shit. They never grew up together. And like she's like, oh hey, can I come stay at your house like Brittany? He's like, that's weird, ew. And then all of a sudden he starts liking her, and the next thing you know they're in a relationship, and it's like, well, so we're not like really, but you are brother and sister, like stop it.
Yes, stop. Yes,
okay, this is weird. This is, and what's worse is like she's a teenager or something. She's young and you're grown. And again, this is an entire genre. That's why I said it seems on brand for Japan.
I wonder if they thought nobody would really think about it that hard. Like nobody would react. Like they thought like, oh, nobody's going to pay attention to this, so it's not really a big deal. And then they were proven very wrong.
You know,
something right? Like that.
What's funny about that is that it's they show it in a freaking cutscene with like static images, so you can just stare at the word, like you see the character and you know you like, cuz you know who they are to each other, and then the next flash is like she's pregnant with him, like looking at the, like laying on the belly or whatever, and like talking, like the words are just there, and they just, it's stagnant. So you can't even look away, or like it just flashes and goes to something else. It's like, you gotta have to stare at it. And then people are like, oh, that's not right. That's not right at all. And that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention, Tess, because it is kind of anime. Do you think it's, I'm hesitant to say it's a cultural thing.
Mm.
Like I'm very hesitant to say that because I don't, well, one, I don't know.
Mm.
And then two, there are differing ideals in terms of how this is handled. Whether there are, you know, genres of this type of stuff anyways. Like there are different ways of, or different theories or whatever the case may be on how to handle this sort of thing. Like you have your Sword Art Online and how that ended, and that was bananas. And then you have something that's a little bit more, a little bit more regular. And so I'm a little hesitant to say it's just Japan, but I totally got what you said when you were like, it was on brand.
Yeah, because again, I don't want to be like, oh, it's the entire culture or whatever. No, it's like, it's a theme. It is. This is a very anime theme. This is a theme that seems to happen in animes and, you know, Game of Thrones. So So it's just a thing.
I watched Dora in High School Host Club. I know what's up.
That, seriously, that is the best. I don't care what anybody says, because okay, here's the thing. One of the things I love about Oran is that Oran knew it was making fun of itself, right? Like, these brothers know exactly what they're doing to all of these girls. Like, they know what they're doing. They know they're feeding. They're literally feeding a fandom. They know, right? And, you know, this is like, hey, this is weird. Hey, are you doing this story because there's a consequence? Are you doing this story to let everybody know that your characters are fucked up mentally? Because Jamie and Cersei were fucked up mentally. Their whole thing in the book is showing that they are bad people and that they are fucked up. Their incestuous relationship is not applauded. It's not praised. It is shown to show these people are depraved. Them literally having sex in the same room as their dead father. Wait,
dead son.
Joffrey. Yeah. Literally having sex in the same room is to show how depraved they are. And the TV show couldn't fucking get it right. Get that shit right. Which made no sense whatsoever. But that is my point. There was a purpose to this. There was a purpose to showing this thing that's not normal. This relationship is not normal. And they were showing that. Now, is that what this game is doing? Because don't tell
me. No. It's what you get when you beat the arcade mode with Alex. And it's like I don't want to say like happily ever after type situation, but that's essentially, it's they're happy. They're a happy couple. That's what they're saying.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. I love that for you guys. I love that you guys are a happy, incestuous couple, seen as Jamie and and neither could most of the Targaryens. God. So yeah, good for you guys.
Yeah, that's yeah, man. On that note, we're gonna go ahead and close out. Thank you guys for listening with us. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. Shout out to Ash for hanging out with us and being silly.
Yes.
You're totally, totally awesome for you being here and vibing and whatnot. We had to get you back on the show, definitely.
Anytime. You know where to find me.
Yes. Yeah. Before we go, speaking of finding you, where can people find you and your work? Do you have a website that has all of your work listed or, you know, things like that?
No, I need to do that. But you can find my words on Kotaku. You can find them on The Verge. I am also on my own podcast. It's called Insert Credit. That's at insertcredit.com. Check me out there. We have episodes every week. It's a audio magazine where we talk about the latest in video game news and whatever, and just shooting the shit with a bunch of dorks who are dorkier than me, if you can imagine. You can also, if you like the opinions that I have, you can find me on Blue Sky. That's at Astra. That's ADASHTRA. If you don't like my opinions, then don't follow me because I don't tolerate that bullshit. So like I said, thanks for having me. I'm always down to come back and talk about bullshit again and have fun just vibing. So this was fun.
Take us home, Tess.
Yeah, everybody. So remember our rules, which are, don't be a dick.
Yes.
Wash your faces, wash your hands and your butts. Wait, I did that in the wrong order. But please just wash all of them anyway.
It's cool.
I definitely did. Okay, I'm having a brain, thing.
Basically, use soap when you wash your legs.
That's please sort of do. It doesn't, you can't just let the soap fall over your legs.
Yeah.
You have to scrub them. You have to exfoliate. You know, you actually have to touch your body when you clean it. The water doesn't just do it for you.
Oh, my God.
Just so that we are. I'm targeting a specific person with these words. Is anything, and they don't know who they are and they don't listen to this podcast. But anywho, people. Yeah, be nice, be kind, don't be a dick. Listen to our podcast, find out. Gang, we love you. We're so happy you were here, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.